The following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the host and guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
1.7 billion were there for his birth. 220 countries tuned in for his first step.
Woohoo!
The world stood still for that stolen kiss. And as he grew, so did the technology. Broadcast live and unedited to an audience around the globe.
Cool, man.
Coming to you now, enclosed in the largest studio ever constructed, and along with the Great Wall of China, one of only two man-made structures visible from space. Now, it's...
I'm Speaking Plainly with Bill Hay.
Good evening, Jacksonville, and welcome to another edition of I'm Speaking Plainly. I'm your host, Bill Hay, coming to you live from the studios of WBOB AM 600 and FM 101.1 with Joni joining me here in the studio, as always, with a great show planned for all of you. But the angelic voice that you will hear when you call us for the first time tonight will be that of Dr. A.J. Davis.
Only time I've been called an angel lately.
Well, it was here on the script, so voice. I had to read it.
Okay.
The script that doesn't exist for my show. Show would probably be a lot better if we scripted it, but it seems to be working. People are enjoying
it. It's stream of consciousness.
A lot of emails last week about last week's show, so good and bad. I can't believe how many times in it started with you and I here tonight. Really. It started with you and I. You took the same position as many of my writers did. They all still say, well, you know, we love you, Bill, but you need to learn to be a little more compassionate. You know what? For what?
Did I once say you need to be more compassionate?
No, not tonight. But it's clearly obvious that you and I differ with how much we really need to feed into the media frenzy on these 17 kids in Parkland. Sure, I feel bad for their families. I really, really do. And I would never want that to happen if it was preventable. But we've got a lot of media driving this frenzy around the country. I was able to speak with a school psychologist who traveled to Parkland and was down there for a week. And he said, you know, the students and the teachers, they're ready to just move on. They're ready to get back to a normal routine. Now, he did say there were a few standouts that would come to school in, you know, full makeup and dressed like they're going to a club.
Looking
for their 15 minutes of fame on CNN or Fox. But, it was, he's just, you know, and I didn't know this, but apparently the teachers have been back down there working since the day after the shooting. Not in that building, but in other buildings, getting it ready so that they can move these 40 classrooms that are no longer going to be used in that building into other portions around the complex to make it work.
And isn't it interesting that if you listen to the media, the teachers went back the day before the students did last Wednesday?
They went back in the form of teachers that day. It's kind of true. You got to read in between the lines. Prior to that, they were there cleaning, moving, getting out the necessary materials they needed because they knew that that building was going to be a crime scene for a while. And it's basically that building is locked up. It's been completely surrounded by fencing, and now there's, you know, motivational posters hanging on that fencing. There were 40 therapy dogs that were taken into the school the very first day that was back for the students. They told them to leave their book bags at home, and it was just going to be a day of remembrance and of healing, and they brought the dogs in supposedly to comfort the kids. I think we don't give our children credit
for their ability to cope.
We coddle them way too much. We have become an extremely, and I hate to say this, but he's absolutely right, we've become a more and more feminized society where men are expected to have great feeling about something that they understand is just a part of life. And you and I had that discussion off air before the show started. Death is a part of life. Whether it's death by natural causes, death by accident, or death at the hands of someone else, It's a part of life.
Happens. You can't wrap your family, yourself in a cocoon.
No.
Bad stuff happens. How we deal with
good
that.
People. I know a gentleman right now who, very, very good friend of mine. He had one bad sightseeing flight over the Grand Canyon in a multi-passenger, you know, 12, 14-seat, probably a Twin Otter. Mm-hmm. It was a very rough, very turbulent ride. And now he will not fly in anything small at all, with me, without me, with another pilot. It doesn't matter. He just, the only thing he'll get on is a major airliner to fly from point A to point B. What he doesn't realize is that most of those guys that are flying those major airliners are students that may have 100 or 200 hours in actual heavy airline transportation class, and they're flying with a veteran who may be getting ready to time out. So just because you're hopping on a Delta flight, don't think that you're getting a, you know, a seasoned, you know, 40 or 50 year old guy in the cockpit. You may be getting one 40 year old guy who's getting ready to move into private charter, and one 26, 27 year old guy who just got out of Embry-Riddle and has his ATP and now is building time in the cockpit as a first officer.
Well, I'm pretty sure the requirements for first officer nowadays are a minimum of 1,500 hours.
Just lowered them. Just lowered them and getting ready to go to discretion. Yeah, because there's a shortage of pilots in this country. Yeah, it was 1,500 hours, but it's now down to 1,000, depending on the course structure. And you can
You think that's a good thing? I mean, we actually have had probably, what would you say, the last two decades have been relatively safe in the American commercial flying skies?
Yeah, absolutely.
But then Colgan crash where the two pilots that were flying were both very low time. They had slept overnight at the airport, you know, a minimum crew rest, mm-hmm. and that bumped it up to 1,500 hours.
For first
officers to be hired.
But that was done also, just like with a lot of the gun bans, on a knee-jerk reaction, right. And it was never supported by any real scientific findings that there's a big difference between a 1,000-hour pilot and a 1,500-hour pilot. Believe me, I've seen them all. I've seen guys that had thousands of hours that completely had
clueless.
They had forgotten about normal stuff because, oh, I'm a pilot, you know, I'm a god, I know how to do this, and you can't tell me what to do, you just got out of flight school. So it has to do with the ego and the caliber and quality of instruction that someone in the airline industry has. I had an 83-year-old man just 2 weeks ago, flew down from New York in his own plane, a $250,000 plane, not thinking, thousands of hours, forgot to put the gear down.
That spoiled his whole day.
Well, it probably cost him his pilot's license, because at 83, non-emergency, forgetting to put the gear down. If it's an emergency and the gear won't come down and you make a great landing, you're a hero. Wow. If you're just flying along and you forget to put the gear down and you belly in to the runway, then they make you go take a check ride. I can tell you at 83 years old, it will be nearly impossible for that gentleman to pass a check ride. So his flying days are over.
I guess Arnold Palmer, he was a private pilot, and he actually gave up flying after, 80 or so?
Yeah, he gave up flying, and prior to that, he had a team of people that flew for him. Arnold Palmer Golf Course Development Group mm-hmm. was, for the longest time, based at Craig Airport.
Wow.
So, and they're actually one of the problems why that the runway extension has been canceled for so many years, is because they used to fly a Purejet Sabreliner, and they would take off at 5:30 in the morning. Purejet Sabreliners aren't even allowed to be flown in the United States any longer because they're so noisy. So they were actually the cause of why that overlay.
Neighbors didn't like that.
Neighbors didn't like it. They don't realize that now, almost 30 years later, jets have gotten a lot more efficient, a lot more quiet.
Absolutely.
And a lot better. But one day we'll be able to explain it to them, and the light will come on, and everything will be all fine, and Dorothy will make it back home to Kansas, and we'll be good. Coming up in the 7 o'clock hour, about 7:15, Sheriff Daryl Daniels from Clay County, one of my favorites, had him in the studio here before he was elected. Absolutely fantastic guy. He's going to be calling in and speaking to us on the phone about some of the things that they've got in place in Clay County relative to school safety, and also talking about some of the stuff that he's been doing to interdict the high crime and drug issues that were going on in Clay County. Regular John Wayne out there in Clay County. I love him to death. He's great. I love his Facebook commercials. Doing something in Clay County that sheriffs haven't done in a long, long time. And then, of course, in the 8 o'clock hour, Marshall Wood will be in here to update us on the progress of our personal little follow-along, and that's with Rocky, who's out there in the real world getting his life squared away and trying to raise a family on a single income. We're going to talk about that in the 8 o'clock hour. This is I'm Speaking Plainly. Phone lines are open, 222-TALK, 222-8255.
Let's get back to I'm Speaking Plainly.
What you got to say?
To join the conversation, call 222-TALK.
Say, hey, hey, hey.
That's 222-8255.
What you got to say?
Once again, here's Bill Hay.
Good evening, Jacksonville, and welcome back to I'm Speaking Plainly. We're going to go to the phones here for, I guess this is the first segment that we've actually gotten a chance to go to the phones. I don't see what Lori is going to talk to us about. So, wait a minute. President Trump. There we go. I saw it. Lori, welcome to the show.
How are you?
I'm doing just fine.
I was wondering, I'm going to preface this with, if you have any thoughts on the tariffs that President Trump has announced this week on steel and aluminum. And without saying that, I wanted to, of course, I preface this because I want to give you my thoughts.
Okay.
Selfishly.
My thoughts first or your thoughts?
Well, what are your thoughts first? I'll go with that.
I think it's an absolutely fantastic idea for in the short term. It's going to disrupt the stock market rally. But in the long term, it's going to put a lot of Ohioans back to work. It's going to put a lot of Pennsylvanians back to work. Believe it or not, it's going to put a lot of people in North Dakota, big aluminum producing area of our country, back to work. So yeah, as long as we can get Americans back involved, I wouldn't mind having Bethlehem Steel showing up on buildings and bridges all across the country. So it's going to hurt the stock market a little bit. Many people say that he's doing it to buy votes for the 2020 election from all the Ohio and Pennsylvania steel workers, but you know what? I think the jobs are the most important part. So, your
Do
turn.
Do I get to speak
sure.
now?
Sure. Your turn. Go
okay.
ahead.
Okay. Here's my trepidation. Is that Section 8 of the Constitution says Congress shall have the power to lay and collect taxes on duties, imposts, and excises, to pay debts, provide for the common defense and the general welfare of the United States, but all the duties, imposts, and excises shall be uniform. Not may, but shall. So here's my thing, is we make them all uniform. You don't just tax steel. You don't just tax aluminum at different rates. You tax everything. And then Congress can discretionarily fund the rest of the powers of Section 8, which is to provide for the general welfare, which could be discretionarily give benefit to the steel workers.
Well, no, okay. The tariff does not get paid. The steel worker in his paycheck.
My point is that all indirect tariffs have to be uniform. And then Congress gets to delegate where the money goes. You can't tax one segment of production or society. What you get to do is tax uniformly, and then Congress gets to the discretionary.
Lori, you do realize that this is import tax, right? A tariff is an import tax. Okay.
Import taxes, it's a Article 1, Section 8.
Okay, I got a copy of the Constitution, Lori. Let's don't waste radio time on reading to each other.
Oh, and I don't mean to yell at you.
Okay,
sorry.
Let's don't waste radio time on reading to each other. What you have to understand is that an import tariff, you couldn't, if something cost 25, let's say something costs a dollar, you can't impose a 25% import tariff on something that costs a dollar, a widget that's made in China, a matchbox car or something that costs a dollar.
It doesn't matter what it is.
Right.
The way they explained it is, let's say you're doing aluminum. If you tax aluminum 10% in import tax, that's like a penny on a can, maybe. But you have to tax it all uniformly. That's what the Constitution says. And I think the founding fathers knew what they were talking about, and I hope George, who is one of your avid listeners, will talk about this, because He is a very thoughtful listener.
Okay. All right, Lori, thank you for your call tonight. I appreciate it. I'm trying to get across to her that it's not a tax of a penny on a can. It's raw ore coming in by the tens of thousands of tons. And the tariffs are levied based on the percentage of importation as opposed to what we manufacture here at home. They're not going to tax Bethlehem Steel, 25% increase on steel that's made here in the United States. They're going to tax Canadian and Chinese imported steel, and that's where the tariff comes in. What it allows for is preventing what is called monetary fluctuation or the currency manipulation that China has been doing for two decades on us now.
Right.
They have manipulated their values against our dollar so that they sell us stuff at a grossly inflated price.
Rate, right.
And then the stuff that they buy from us, which is very, very little, they want to bargain and barter on a lower import a lower fee for the stuff they buy.
Another question I have about the whole issue is let's assume that all these jobs are created for these steel workers that were previously employed and have now gone on and retrained to do other things. How many of them do you think will come back to the steel industry? Are we looking at a potential issue of not having enough workers?
That's possible. But, you know, we're seeing unemployment figures now the lowest they've been in 18 years.
Right.
There are always people looking for jobs. I know people that work right here at this station that are looking for full-time jobs that could easily be office workers and administrative personnels in various different companies, including steel companies. Of course, they wouldn't be doing it here in Florida because, you know, we just don't have the steel industry here. We have a very, very small manufacturing industry here in Florida. The two biggest industries that we have here, and I'm talking about actual homegrown industries, are tourism, and then immediately following tourism is the prison system. We make more money off the federal government for each prisoner that we house here in the state of Florida than anywhere else in the United States. It's an amazing amount of money that comes in from the federal government for housing prisoners here.
And that is for both public and privately run prisons?
Oh, absolutely. All the Wackenhut run prisons make hundreds of millions of dollars off the federal government for managing privately run prisons, which are mostly the medium and low security prisons. The country club prisons are mostly the Wackenhut prisons, and the state still manages, state and federal government still manages most of the heavy duty stuff. So Corinne is probably at a private facility, if you're wondering about
her. It's been incredibly quiet out there about
she's fallen off the radar. Yeah, she's fallen off the radar. I think that she's finally seen the light that 5 years will go by a whole lot faster than her appeals will ever go by. And she should just learn to enjoy it and have a good time for the next 5 years.
Maybe we could start a letter writing campaign or something, you know, send her postcards.
She was trying to put it off, but it didn't happen.
Yeah, she made her best effort to try and get some leniency based on her previous years of service, but
how's that working
just,
for
you? Yeah, it's not working now. And I think that most of the television stations have backed off of her out of compassion. To be someone her age and have to go to prison for 5 years, that's a big culture shock for her. I think probably you'll see somebody do a little expose maybe 6 months or maybe around Christmas time.
Just an update on how
she's doing. You know, the first couple of weeks after she was in, there were some bogus news stories about her getting massages every night and special treatment and got a new mattress when everybody else was on old mattresses. That they were all inmate generated, and a couple of the news channels here in town bit on that story. But in the grand scheme of things, I think they probably figured out it was inmates just making up stuff so that they could get interviewed and all their friends back at whatever hometown they're from could say, "Hey, I know that. That's little Della Rica. Della Rica's on the news tonight. Let's see what she has to talk about." Sorry. What was the ooh for? Della Rica?
Okay.
Would it have been as shocking if I had just said, "Yeah, that's my old cousin Mary over there"?
All right.
You know.
Yeah, I understand she got wigged out when she got there.
All right.
Sorry.
So, let's go to Dinsmore, Tom, real quick. He's on the line. Tom, welcome to I'm Speaking Plainly.
Good afternoon. And I think President Trump is doing great. I really think the tariffs are to be good.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish he would extend it to some other stuff.
Toys. Paint.
I would like to see a lot of other products that are being shipped, dumped in here on America to expand our industrial. Of course, I don't work no more, so it won't help me. But I still like to see it.
Excellent. All right, Tom. Anything else from you tonight? We got any? I mean, that was a real mellow topic for you.
Well, I'm just cracked my bottle.
Oh, okay. Tom,
I'll be listening.
You're an absolute joy to have.
We love you.
Absolute joy to have on the radio. So, Tom, tip one back for me and think about us, and for the next 2 hours, yell at the radio. That's Tom from Dinsmore. What a great guy. I just opened up my bottle and I'm ready to go here. I'm going to listen to Bill and I'm going to scream at the radio for a little while. We got some really great people here listening to us. I'm not exactly sure why they're listening to us, but I'm hoping we can give them a good time at that. Phone lines are open, 222-TALK, 222-8255. And email bill@600wbob.com, bill@600wbob.com. For some reason or another, without even touching the phone, I have disconnected my clock. And so I'm unable to do what normally doesn't get seen by the listening audience, and that is start my countdown clock so that I can know when we're going to go to break. I can feel the force inside as we're slowly getting there. 222-TALK, 222-8255. Cheryl, Daryl Daniels coming up in just a few minutes. Join us, won't you?
Let's get back to I'm Speaking Plainly.
What you got to say?
To join the conversation, call 222-TALK.
Say, hey, hey, hey.
That's 222-8255.
What you got to say?
Once again, here's Bill Hay.
Good evening, Jacksonville. Welcome back to I'm Speaking Plainly. Jerry, if you're still out there, we didn't mean to drop you off the line. Give us a call back. I know that you had some stuff you wanted to share with us on the show. So, Jerry, if you're still living, give us a call back. 222-TALK. I said if you're still living. Jerry, if you're still listening, 222-TALK, 222-8255.
If you're listening and living both.
Yeah. If you're living and you're listening, clap your hands. Anyway, give us a call, 222-8255. Anyway, I'd like to ask all of you to please consider and keep, I won't announce the name on air, but please keep one of our radio station family in your prayers. He's in the hospital right now, and he could use everything that we can give him. So let's say a prayer for one of our radio station families. Yeah, the prayers help. I do believe prayers help.
You know, I was kind of surprised. I'm just going to jump in that. I know that we didn't plan this, but that the news media, even Fox, really didn't mention much about Putin and his kind of outlandish I don't know if it was a political thing in his own country. Of course, he's going to get reelected no mm-hmm. matter what. But, you know, they do a video, and it's basically sent around the world that this is what's going to happen. We've got some bigger weapons than anybody now, and we're gonna show you what would happen if we nuked Florida. You know, that's
right.
A little upsetting. I mean, if Trump did that, the world would be in turmoil.
They would come unglued. 9 MIRVs. For those of you that didn't study this, MIRVs, multiple reentry vehicles, which basically each MIRV contains probably the nuclear explosive power of 10 Hiroshima bombs. So if you multiply that by 9, you're now looking at 90 Hiroshima bombs, all aimed at MacDill Air Force Base, which is the Joint Tactical Service Base for the Southern Command over in Tampa. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't surprise me that Florida would be targeted. We've got Patrick Air Force Base here, which is the hub and the epicenter for AFTAC. AFTAC is the regulatory agency of the Air Force, and they actually record, monitor, and kind of keep watch on every single nuclear test around the globe. So when all that stuff was going off in North Korea, we knew about it first here at Patrick Air Force Base.
Right.
And then you've got...
Of course, Cape Canaveral, and
Canaveral.
I'm sure the Soviets, way back when, how many submarines do you think have been off the east coast of Florida for years?
Many, 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 a lot.
Eglin has a huge training presence for law enforcement.
And right. Halbert Field out there.
Yes.
Big tactical command. All of the Army Ranger School's escape and evade courses are done at Eglin Air Force Base. So, yeah, we're pretty popular here.
And, of course, Jacksonville is no slouch with a Navy
Mayport,
presence. And,
yeah.
Of course, in
Kings
Kingsley.
Bay. Yep. Yeah. So, we're big targets. Time to move to Iowa. Live in a cornfield somewhere.
Well, as I remember, we used to once have a nuclear stockpile over on the west side.
We did. We did. In fact,
what
the little caves, they've all been moved out to salt mines out west. That's all been done away with. But the caves are still there. The big berms and caves around Camp Blanding, still out there. And over on the west side, out by Cecil Field, out in the woods, the caves are still there. Not the caves, but they're not, you know, they're man-made in-ground concrete bunkers. They just look like caves. Anyway, so yeah. Popular place here, North Florida. Popular place, Tampa area. I could see, you know, Putin probably wanted to pick a nice sunny spot close to Mickeyville. Take care of all of that stuff when Russia moves in. They'll have Disney World to go to, SeaWorld, Epcot, all those places for his
That assumes he doesn't send his 10 MERS to wipe us out.
Friends in the Politburo will have a nice place to vacation. Anyway, phone lines open. 222. Oh my gosh, I see this site pop up on the screen. Do we want to deal with this so early in the evening?
Who are we dealing with,
Ben? Rice.
Of course.
All right. Well, you know, he's always guaranteed good for a call. Let's go to Rice on the phones. Good evening, my friend. How are you doing?
Hi, Rice.
Hey.
Hey.
I saw on I have a history book and yesterday, and I saw declare all this month. It's Texas Independence Day and Sam Houston Day. Texas Independence.
Yeah.
And my wife wants me to say it's Florida Day. Woohoo! They became a state today. No, Texas became independent from the tyrant in Mexico on this date yesterday.
Like you guys saved this up just for Saturday night.
I got to.
You work all week to find trivia for us. I love it.
I salute America.
He's an absolutely amazing
Texas.
Guy. So
hey, I've had the best sandwich today. I think I'm pregnant.
You were at Cotton's Barbecue?
I will have the second best sandwich today, homemade.
Okay, homemade?
Onions, horseradish, and mustard on a French bun.
That just doesn't even sound good. There's no meat there.
Yeah, no meat.
I know it.
Where's the meat? Is there a wish sandwich?
One of my daughters is pregnant, so I think I'm eating for her.
Oh, now, look, I worked at...
That's nasty.
Let me tell you something. And I interned at a radio station in Orlando, Florida, for a show down there. Called the Phillips File, not trying to plug another station, but Jim had an absolute guaranteed, I mean, it was written up in newspapers across the country, go make your daughter get her husband or boyfriend to buy her a box of Kraft macaroni and cheese from the grocery store, just a simple box of Kraft macaroni and cheese, then he's got to make it for her. And then he makes it for her on the stove, wherever. And then he has to bring her also at the same time a bottle of A1 steak sauce.
Yeah.
And you put the A1 steak sauce on the Kraft macaroni and cheese, and I guarantee you that within – pack a bag. Just pack a bag because within 12 hours, she's going into labor and she's at the hospital. And Jim Phillips will tell you – you can probably find it on the internet. Kraft macaroni and cheese. It's got to be Kraft too.
My wife went to labor after eating Pizza Hut pizza.
Yeah, well,
and,
telling you.
The moon was a certain way. Yeah, I did it. So if you don't want to go in labor or, you know, don't eat at Pizza Hut pizza.
Don't eat Kraft macaroni and cheese or Heinz 57.
Can I comment on when the timing of when they put the fence around the high school in South Florida? Now they put the fence around the high school.
Yeah, that's wrong. Little late.
Yeah, and then what? Okay, I think AR-15, did they not pay their protection money to the left? Because it's the only weapon they're attacking at this time. So I think AR-15, they pay their protection money to the unions, to the leftists. I think they'll ease off. What weapon was used in Alexander and was used to shoot the congressman? That should be a popular weapon. I mean, you know, so they didn't attack that weapon. That's
no.
A certain long gun. So
it's interesting, though, that the Florida Senate, the House approved a ban on AR-15s. And then a few minutes later, the Senate revoked the ban. So the Senate is actually thinking with a clear head. It is not the weapon. It's not the type of weapon. If somebody wants to kill somebody, they're going to kill them with a ball peen hammer they want to.
I can kill a person with a pen, with a pencil.
Yeah, shove it in their ear.
I'm not saying I'm going to. I'm like a donut, but it's possible. And my civil rights, my constitutional rights, are more important than anyone's emotions, period.
Well, that's what I tried to explain to someone today, Rice. I was speaking with a good friend, Sharon, who may or may not be listening at this time, and she was talking about this ban. And I spoke to her, and I said, well, you know, it's these little tiny nibbles at our constitutional rights that eventually become full-scale bites, and then after that, the entire meal is done and over. It's gone. You have no rights any longer.
Joni, and you wonder what happened.
Yeah.
How'd this happen?
Wait a minute.
Hello.
You know, we've heard people talking about having the government monitor your social media posts before you're in suspicion. In other words, you can have a guy turn you in for writing something controversial on Facebook or making a strange Instagram post or maybe an aggressive tweet. After a while, that becomes the KGB. After a while, that becomes you can't say anything, and then that becomes you've lost your freedom of speech.
So we need to be bold enough to exercise our freedom of speech, our Second Amendment rights, and whoever we're offending, tough.
Right. We also need to understand. Rice, thank you very much for the call tonight. Have a great night. We also need to understand that death is a part of life, that evil exists in our world, and that people are going to do things that are evil sometimes, and there's nothing you can do about it.
Bad things happen to good people.
Exactly. And, you know, we are living in a world where a large contingent of our country, our population, believes that we need to stop all deaths. And it's just not possible. What was the takeaway from these seven kids dying? Well, the takeaway was not we need to ban assault weapons, but and they're not even assault weapons anyway. We need to ban a mean-looking style of gun. No, that's not the lesson. The lesson is that when you get calls to a particular address 39 times,
there's
when you
problem.
Have a complaint that someone is holding a gun to a neighbor's head and they call the police and the police do nothing about it, we need to understand that it's not banning the assault weapon that's going to prevent those in the future. It's taking action on a legitimate call.
Absolutely.
How many women in this country have made a call to the police department about domestic violence, had the officers show up, and then say, well, I don't see any bruises, I don't see any marks, and they just tell the husband to leave for a night and go away, and then the next night he comes back and he beats her.
Or he kills her.
Right. So, I mean, I understand that in certain cases, women are a little, they use that female gene to say, oh, he beat me, when he actually didn't. She just actually found another woman's name on his phone, but that's a totally different discussion. You're listening to I'm Speaking Plainly. We'll be right back. Join us, won't you?
Let's get back to I'm Speaking Plainly.
What you got to say?
To join the conversation, call 222-TALK.
Hey, hey, hey.
That's 222-8255.
What you got to say?
Once again, here's Bill Hay.
Good evening, Jacksonville. Welcome back to I'm Speaking Plainly. We got a few more minutes here, about another 25 minutes or so, and then we will have Sheriff Darrell Daniels calling us in from Clay County. Fantastic, Sheriff. Nothing better than his some of his Facebook posts and his commercials that he does on TV. I really love this guy and his form of policing. It's really good.
He is a really good guy, and I think he has given credibility back to the sheriff's office in Clay County.
Yeah.
There for a while, things were pretty marginal.
Well,
but we're seeing a lot going on. All you have to do is open Clay Today, and you'll read of a dozen different incidents that they responded to in the preceding 5 days, including drug buys in the Walmart parking lot where they arrested, I think, 6 or 8 people.
Well, it appears that in a lot of big metropolitan areas, not to say that Orange Park and Clay County is a big metropolitan area, but
it's growing.
It's growing, and it's going to continue to grow as long as their taxes are lower than Duval County. People love to work in Duval, and they love to live in Clay. I had that discussion today. I'm hoping that the city will actually institute a hiring freeze to where if you're going to work for the city, you have to live inside the city limits.
Well, isn't that pretty standard across the country?
It is pretty standard across the country.
Especially for law enforcement type.
Absolutely, especially if you're going to take the car home, too. Let's go to Marty on the line and bring him on the show. Good evening, my friend.
Hey,
how
Marty.
Are you doing?
Hello.
Hello, you're here.
Okay, I'm sorry. I thought you were talking to somebody else. Well, I'm going to switch today. I'm not going to knock Jacksonville. I'm going to knock Broward County. And I did some research regarding this, and I'm going to come up with some comments.
Where is Broward County? I mean, we've got a county similar to that down in South Florida.
No, that's what he's talking about. He's talking about Broward County, Fort Lauderdale.
Oh,
Broward County
where the shooting was. That's Marty, I hate to correct my callers, but that's now Coward County.
Yeah, I know. Okay, I'm sorry.
The Coward County Sheriff's Department.
And I'm going to give some common sense solutions according to if I was a 18-year-old kid who knows everything, who's there's no draft to worry about if you're a boy, and with his man bun and tattoos and his baby hat and this type of weather, his wool hat. So I'm going to give some solutions.
How do you feel, Marty?
Don't mince words, Marty.
When I went fishing, I used to use those kids for bait. I used to cut them up because they're so wormy. Anyway, I did some research and I found out that. He looks like a monkey, but the sheriff, Scott Israel, is a Democrat, okay? And I'm going to say this. When you vote Democrat, you get what Democrats give you, okay? I live in
or you get what you pay for, one or the other.
St. John's County is a pretty decent county. I've been here for 25 years. Decent quality of life. You'll excuse, I have a little bit under the weather, whatever. Anyway, so he gives these speeches, and you know that they're a proponent of this restorative justice, which is a tool that the left uses. It's mostly for blacks and Hispanics so that they don't get a criminal record. Like if you beat up a teacher, you say to the teacher, let's talk about it, and it's resolved, it's arbitrated, whatever. And I've been doing a lot of research on that, and it's nonsense. But yes, Coward County, those deputies in there, I'm so disgusted. I hope I never travel down there and that they give me a speeding ticket because I'll vomit on them. Anyway, the point is that I'm going to now give everybody a common sense solution to all of our problems. I would like for you to get your papers and pencils and write it down. Okay, I live about 7 miles from I-95. And there are parts of I-95 in this county where they have a lot of accidents. So I'm going to propose at this time to shut down all of I-95, and you will save a lot of lives of all the people who are killed in accidents over there. I live about 8 miles from St. Augustine Beach. Every year, a few idiots who don't know how to swim go in the water and drown. They don't know that if you don't know how to swim, you don't go in the water. At this time, I'm proposing that all beaches in Florida be shut down and no swimming or anything. You're not allowed to go in the water. We will save countless amounts of lives. I'm going to propose at this time that people burn up every year in the wintertime using space heaters, that space heaters are not sold anymore. And furthermore, that people are not allowed to use soap anymore because a lot of old people slip on bars of soap.
You missed
in the bathtub.
Marty, you missed one that's really important. You missed one that's very important. 11 children die every day in the United States of America. 11 every day from texting and driving. So it needs to be that the legal age to own a smartphone needs to be 21 or older.
And also, did you know, and I'm not saying this to be funny, because I lost a nephew when he was 12 from playing Russian roulette with his father's gun. So
wow.
I take that issue very seriously, 1982. But if we outlaw all swimming pools in your backyard, no kids will drown in those pools. However, what about the parents who are supposed to be watching them? Okay, so I'm going to tell people in the future, and I think also that this restorative justice, as I told you before, our new sheriff has mentioned that, and it's a leftist tool, so beware. But anyway, if you implement my suggestions, nobody drives the car, nobody goes to the beach, nobody flies a plane anymore. You know how many lives we'll save?
Come on now. You know, that wouldn't be fair.
You know what? It'll be the most boring place in the world.
Well, you know, I've said this many times, Marty. We have tried to legislate ourselves and culturalize ourselves away from the idea of anybody ever dying in our country, and in many ways we've tried to institute those policies around the world to where, you know, death is no longer, you know, on the table, and that's just not possible. Death is a part of life.
Well, I want to quote, and I'm not trying to cut you off, but I want to quote Bill Clinton's Surgeon General Jocelyn Elders, and you can Google this. Any, like I tell you, I never lie. Sometimes I make a mistake, but this one is on the money. Jocelyn Elders said, most of us will die.
Yeah, that's true. Statistics show that most of us will die at some point in time in our life.
I hope that that doesn't include you and your illustrious assistant in the studio and myself and everybody that we love. But
I'm doing the best that I can, Marty, every day. I try not to come out of my house. I try not to use power tools or even turn on my stove. I take showers in the garden hose outside to avoid using the bathtub. Exactly. So
there you go.
Marty, I appreciate your call tonight, buddy.
When's another gripe night?
I tell you what, sometime during a break tonight, I will call Yvonne over at Cotton's Barbecue, and I will say, my listeners are demanding a gripe night, and we'll try and get you a date this evening. Thanks, Marty. Appreciate
it. Thanks a lot. You're welcome, buddy. American WBLB.
Thanks, buddy. See you. Bye-bye.
Take care.
What a great caller. Always a great guy. Always a great guy. Real little off the wall. I was looking at something I didn't believe. But now I have to believe it. The GoFundMe site for the Las Vegas shooting, it's over $31 million has been raised for the victims of the Vegas shooting. And just for the Parkland shooting, I'm looking at it now, so far $2.7 million has been raised for the victims of the Parkland shooting.
Who
now, the state of Florida.
How that's distributed.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I don't know. Now, the state of Florida agreed to pick up the cost
for all the funerals and everything.
Exactly.
Right.
And counseling for the students left over with the school. And don't get me wrong. I'm not making light of their sacrifice or of the trauma that they've been involved with. I'm not making light of that. But at some point in time, we need to stop turning our kids into snowflakes, and we need to start, you know, letting them understand at an early age that death is a part of life, that when you have certain people that are affected mentally, that are playing Soldier of Fortune every day on the Xbox game, sometimes 10, 12, 14 hours a day, at some point in time, the stimulus that they get from the game is not good enough. And then they look at their life. This kid, in so many ways, I've been listening to people that are highly educated folks in the mental health fields that say, this kid lost his mom and dad. They were both killed. He's with foster parents that really just kind of took him in. He's 19 years old, and he had just gotten kicked out of high school. He'd been kicked out of one public school, sent to a special school, got kicked out of that special school, went to a troubled teen school, got kicked out of that, and for some reason or other, somebody thought that he'd be okay to come back to public school again. He made that about 6 months, got expelled for fighting, came back the next day or 2 days later and shot the place up. He's 19 years old. At some point in time when he was 17 or 18, somebody should have come up to him with a piece of paper and said, here, kid, school's just not for you. Sign this right here, and we're going to let you go. You know?
That assumes that he was going to accept responsibility for his behavior, or someone was going to hold him accountable.
It doesn't matter. Sign this piece of paper. We don't want you on the property here anymore. You're gone. Go get into GED class. You know, there's all sorts of online classes that you can take to get your degree. Or get whatever you're going to get, or go work
but
as a greeter at Walmart. Yeah, you don't belong here. You're listening to I'm Speaking Plainly. I'm your host, Bill Hay. Phone lines are open. 222-TALK, 222-8255. We're going to step away for just a couple minutes. We'll be right back. We hope you'll join us.